You are very welcome to another episode of the Sideshow Garden Podcast. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're good. I hope you're having a good time. I hope you're behaving yourself more to the point. I've got things moving on my desk. In the meantime, let's get to more serious matters. There's a very good friend of mine who you are about to hear, coincidentally, more than that. And it's not that he's a mate. We get into how we met and how all of the, how do you say it, the relationship became a one of respected horticulture, which is why he is on the phone to me. But it's taken me about 2, maybe 3 years to get him on between life and one thing and another, and you know how it all rolls. But when you need an upbeat story, when you need a person who's going to bring a smile to your face, and if you're wondering, and you put maybe their Sideshow and why it all started into a calculator and press the square root button, this is the happiness beam of horticultural sunshine that I would hope that would emanate from it. I really can't give a higher praise than that. I'll get them on just after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
Rocky Coles. Excellent to hear your voice as always. How are you, my good man?
I'm good. Good evening, Peter. How are you?
I'm fantastic, Rocky. I'm fantastic. Rocky, for those who don't know you, I want to start with one thing because I know where this story is going to lead to. But for those who are not aware of you, tell me about your, I suppose, your education and your background specifically in horticulture.
Okay, so my background, currently I'm self-employed. I've been self-employed for 8 years. Prior to that, I worked in retail horticulture. And my education, I suppose, I trained straight from school at a college. And I did my national certificate and my national diploma in horticulture, followed by my RHS advanced certificate. That was in about 2001. And I was young Hort of the Year in 2002, aged 18.
Explain to me then, again, because I know the story on this one, what did you do with, is it a bursary that the Institute of Horticulture give you, Rock?
Yeah, so at the time, it was slightly a bit less than it is now, but the now known Chartered Institute of Horticulture gave you a bursary by the Percy Thrower Trust. And I used it and I went over to New Zealand and I did some projects over in New Zealand. Back in the day, as I should say.
You're a seasoned, educated, respected horticulturist. Do you think that's a fair way to describe you?
Thank you so much. That's really lovely for you to say. I think, like with any industry, and especially in horticulture, I think you have to be humble. And because you think of how many opportunities I think that I've had. And how much I'd like to give that back. It's like with most things, I think quite a lot is we're so in society, we take a lot, but we don't give back. And it's like an equilibrium, we need a balance. And so I always believe that anything I do, if I can make someone smile or if I can pass on a skill or something like that, it makes the world so much brighter. And I think if we were all like that, I think the world would be such a nice place to be.
I am in entire agreement with you, Rocky, and the little people inside my head are once again dancing. Let's bring that dancing. Did I do one of them segue things? I think I did. How do I say this? So there's a lady by the name of Barbara Segal, who is a former guest of the show. I think she was on around about 2017. There was a storm. Which delayed her flight, and me and you and Barbara, who is, I should add, a very respected journalist and writer, a very accomplished writer, we ended up in a pub together, Rocky, on more than one occasion.
that's all the best occasions, to be in a pub in Ireland with you, my good friend. Just the best.
Do you remember that, Rocky?
I do. It's one of those memories, you know, when you look back, and it comes into conversation, and I always say, I remember the time that I was really blessed and fortunate to spend with you. And due to the storm Ophelia and that severe wind, this was really rocking that pear tree of yours.
The beauty about it was we got to spend a lot of time together. And I was in Chelsea Flower's show, I think it was last year, or was it? Sorry, no, I'll tell you where I was. I was actually at Ascot Racecourse at the garden show that Stephen Bennett organised, another former guest of the show, and I bumped into Rosie and Rob Hardy, and your name came up in conversation. Why would that be, Rocky?
I don't know. Maybe you'd like to fill in, Peter. I don't know.
Okay, well, leave all of the things aside that I'm not allowed to say on air. What's your relationship with wonderful Rosie and wonderful Rob?
Okay, my relationship with Rosie and Rob is, I can say they are amazing, beautiful people. Again, her amazing ethos that give back. I met them originally from a social gathering, from social media. And from there, just got talking to them. And I ended up helping them at Chelsea. And I've been helping them at Chelsea now for about 4 years, every year. And such amazing people that have so much time, a good rapport, good teamwork, have respect for their staff, and respect for the industry. And I think, you know, people like those should be championed. They equip, and they inspire younger people as well. And people come to help them. And they're just lovely people.
I would, again, entirely agree with you, Rocky. But your time at Chelsea, you've worked on enough bills. You know the scene there. Would you call it a bit of a pressure cooker at the best of times, Rocky?
Yeah, a pressure cooker, you know, with lots of high visibility at the moment. It never used to be so bright. And yeah, in times like at Chelsea, especially when it's very, very, very stressful, you can have a look around the other gardens that are being built. And you come to a show stand, Rob and Rosie are there, both putting their work in, either driving, which is particularly with Rob, or Rosie is thinking of what's going next. And it's like an oasis of calm amongst a storm. And I think that is such a blessing to have, and how it should be. And I was talking to someone the other day, actually, about Chelsea and the marking of gardens and how things are judged. And I think one of the criteria should be in one of the shows is actually, let's look at team rapport. Are they stressed? How is that? Because that's a big part of a garden. And I don't know about you, Peter, but if you ever go to another garden or somewhere else, you get an ambience, you get a feeling and an energy of a garden. And quite often that energy is put in from a team. And if the team's not quite there, you know, the energy that's given off in that garden, it reflects on it. I'm probably slightly going off the point. But I think that's one thing that should be looked into when it comes to judging. But going back to the garden and the team, there's always cake, there's always tea, and everyone just mucks in, gets on, does the job, and we all have a laugh along the way, and maybe a little wiggle.
Well, I'll agree with you on a couple of things while we're on the subject of it. I will run with the Roald Dahl quote that is framed on my office wall. If you have good thoughts, they will shine out of your face like sunbeams and you will always look lovely. And I will say for sure that if the person at the top of the page has that in their heart, almost like a Jim Carrey in the mask, and it tends to trickle down through to the people who are sometimes or at times like ants, beating away, working in the sunshine, working their asses off, trying to get that garden to that highest standard. I do certainly believe that it shines through on the day of judging, and you hope that the judges pick up on it. However, in the middle of that high pressure cooker, I think it was 2016, Rosie told me a story that you were teaching people in the middle of the garden build with 3 days to go how to do some sort of Spanish style dancing.
That's kind of correct, really. I was getting people to do body rolls as well. People that don't know me, one of my hobbies is Latin dance. So I love salsa. I'm currently learning to dance Argentine tango. So it's having fun. You know, if you can't have fun, what is life? And so I grabbed Rosie and I was like, come on, it's your time to shine. Let's get a bit of a dance going on. So it's like, come on, Rosie. I can't dance. Yes, you can. Come on. So it's all about having a bit of a banter, a bit of a laugh, a bit of a giggle. You know, it's, you know, life is tough at times. And if you can't enjoy it, if you can't let your hair down occasionally and have a good laugh. So that's how it all started, really, with a bit of dancing. I was dancing there this year. I was introduced to a girl that was helping, who was a salsa dancer. So I was in the middle of the Great Pavilion this year, doing a bit of a dance with a bit of music, actually, on our mobile phones. it's just joyful, like everything in life. You know, those small pleasures, they are just the best things.
I'm trying to not smile so I can ask a serious question for you listening at home. I'm terribly sorry. Myself and Rocky, we genuinely have spent a lot of time together in, I apologize for my hesitancy here, but I'll try and explain this to you. When you work on a show build together, when you, in the case of Stormophilia, and we were in Dublin, there wasn't anything else that could be done. If you could make it to the pub without being hit by a tree, then fair play to you. If the pub blew down, believe me, the barman in the locality or the region where I am probably and most definitely and in fact did keep on serving. So what Rocky was saying about having the right people by your side, having that happiness start at the very, very top and having that trust with the people around you and by your side at all times. You've heard me refer to this about the garden build in Cardiff and how that team was pieced together, I should add, quite carefully. But in all things where your name has come up, Rocky, every time I say your name, that is, there's always a smile brought to their face. And that was leading me into the serious question of what is your daily living as a sort of a self-employed person now?
Okay, so my daily living is I work on garden maintenance. So I have various clients in Northamptonshire, from small gardens all the way through to slightly larger properties. And yeah, there's nothing wrong, as I was going to say, with maintenance gardening. There's a big thing actually at the moment about it. Because it's not a garden design, it's not landscape. But actually, there's such the people to know what they're doing when it becomes to maintain. There's not the skill base that's out there. So those who are thinking about doing maintenance gardening, don't be put off, because if you're good at what you do, you'll always have work. That's what I would say. So yeah, that's what I do as my day job. It can be quite long in the days. Today I've been doing some watering. And I've been doing a bit of scything this morning before it got too hot. And it can be anything from pruning, planting, deadheading, and it's actually that foresight of actually what do you want that shrub to look like? You know, is it art? What's the value of this plant? You know, what do you want it to do? And there's quite a lot of people that want that actually out there. You get the bog standard, you know, just cut the grass and people that just blow the leaves, but there is a big skill shortage out there when it comes to maintenance gardening. I'm sure you're probably aware of that, Peter. I don't know, but it is a big thing.
Well, it's a funny thing, Rocky, because even browsing your Instagram profile and conversing with you hither dither over the months and the last few years, you are one of few people who I know who can A, prune an apple tree. Sounds a bit silly to say so. Two, a tree that has not been pruned for a number of years. And a good example of that botanical name on the horizon, the Dacryllus avellana contorta, or the contorted hazel, which tends to, my phone is binging, do reversion or revert to the old hazel. The freak wants to become normal again. And so the tree becomes entirely lopsided, and recorrecting that over a number of seasons, all the way straight through to topiary. There is a point where grass cutting, you're right, is on one hand, and hoeing and mowing and blowing, etc., as they used to call it when I used to work in London on some gardens. But there is a point where there are very few people I would know and very few clients who I would know who will trust anybody else to do that on their behalf. They will insist that I do it for them because they know I don't get it wrong.
Exactly.
And you're the other person who I know.
Yeah, there's not many of us. There's not many of us at all. But, you know, it's kind of, and it's really hard if someone says, oh, you're so busy, can you recommend somebody? And sometimes it's quite hard to say, I'm going to trust that person with you, because A, it's the value and quality of your work that you just don't want, you know, to be spoiled by anything. If someone does a bad job, then you feel guilty for it recommending that person. So yeah, there's always work. There's always going to be good work. There's always going to be work when there's gardens and people who like and have different plants and unusual plants. There was always going to be work.
Okay, well, let's get into the happy stuff. And the reason you caught my eye on this one when you were here with Barbara Segal, but the project is still ongoing, Rocky. Talk to me about the shoes.
Okay, so yeah, so the project we've been doing at the moment for the last few years in Northampton has been hashtag shoe plants. If you would like to look on social media, you can. It's across Instagram and it's across Facebook and Twitter. just by hashtag shoe planting, and you'll see some lovely, lovely planted shoes. Now, it all started back, as I said, a couple of years ago. I live in near Northampton, and Northampton is famous for its boot and shoe industry. We also have competitions that go on in Britain and Bloom, and we have a local heat called Northampton in Bloom, where communities and pubs and some businesses and the council get involved with, to make their places beautiful and shine for summer. So the area where the shoe plant started is in Northampton Town Centre along a terrace called St Giles Terrace. It's a bit of an interesting mix. It's got some residential properties, there's a church, there's some offices, and there's a cafe. And from having, you know, a good rapport with some of the neighbours, I'm a trustee of the church, I was talking to a particular lady called Tadu, who has always made a good effort on her garden, and has always inspired, I think, many people as they walk past. But having a conversation with her, we were wondering what would work in Northampton. A, for our little terrace, going to Northampton in Bloom, and B, you know, how are we going to go about it without spending too much money? So I came up with the idea, which is not an original idea, because you can see other people planting them, boots and shoes around in wellies. But because of the strong cultural history of Northampton, I said, well, why don't we just plant up some boots and shoes? So we did. So I basically turned up with some on a doorstep. I said, what do you think about this? And so we agreed to do it. So we ended up tying shoes, cable tying shoes across the railings, and planting them with drought-tolerant plants, so sempervivums and some succulents, because A, we don't have time to water, B, they're not too expensive to buy, and three, they're quite architectural, like the shoes. So we were like, right, so where do we get these shoes from? And so we asked our friends, our neighbours, our colleagues for shoes, and, you know, asked our, you know, ladies who lunch, etc., to see if we can get any nice pairs. So we got a good spare selection, and we planted them up. It worked really well. Some went in front of people's doors, some went on the windows. Now, as part of that, we engaged with one of the local cafes who originally didn't have much planting at the front. And so we agreed with the cafe manager at the time, a small independent business, can we plant up your front because it's got gravel and there's a couple of bushes and it would be so much nicer for judging. So he gave us some money. We planted it up for him. He now plants it up every year to such a good standard. So it's just showing people that things can be done. And so that was one way that how the project has developed and changed. So I'm going slightly off soon now, but it's all linked because he was, you know, he used to just have artificial hanging baskets. So we gave him a pair of shoes and explained the idea. And so you can see the fruition of how that's inspired and encouraged and equipped someone to make their place beautiful. Other neighbours, for instance, have displayed them on their trees this year, hanging in the trees. We've attached them to lampposts. We've got them as well. So going forward, we've now got them in shop front windows in a way of connecting with a town centre community. And we've got lots of local independent businesses as well as big businesses. And the town centre, as you're aware, with most town centres in the country, are going through lots of problems and lots of issues and people not going in for numerous reasons because of internet online shopping. So we were in partnership from that with the council and local business improvement. And we've now been probably about 70 businesses have them in their shop windows across Northampton, the greater town centre. So, and they're all displayed either one shop has actually done a theme of the Wizard of Oz with the ruby slippers. And we've got some ivies hanging out of those. We've got hanging spider plants in cowboy boots. We've got the lovely little, you know, like dolly shoes. We've got some nice brogues. And in a way, it's kind of, you know, presenting them to the business and saying, hey, would you display these? But it's also, it's a great thing to bring people into the town centre. Bit of fun. It lets the children, can you spot the shoes? You know, where can you find the shoes? And it brings a bit of something that's a bit of magic and a bit of creativity. Okay, we're not London. We're not Bristol. None of these, like, we're not Brighton. But you've got to start somewhere. And from just doing this little small thing, it's like, sowing the seeds of, again, horticulture and amongst people to say, look how easy this is. Secondly, it doesn't have to be that expensive. And thirdly, it's kind of, again, it's bringing your new generations, young, old, anyone can do this and they can do it at home. And it's celebrating history, which I think is adamant. So, yeah, that's a bit about it. I could go on for so much more. There is so much I can say. And one thing is people say, oh, but they get stolen. Okay, yeah, we do get a few plants being stolen. But we just replace them. We don't do the window effect. We don't focus on negativity. We focus on positivity. And so, something that doesn't cost as much money, we can replace. And so that's the way, and we call it urban wildlife. In the countryside, we get rabbits, we get, deer. And in the town centre, we get someone that likes maybe a green sempervivum. But hey, let them take it. If they're taking it, at least they're planting it somewhere and it's greening up their neck of the woods. So it's always finding the brighter side of things.
And it's one of the reasons why I absolutely love you, Rocky. But I remember from our conversations a couple of years ago, there were a couple of famous pairs of shoes that you managed to get your hands on. Am I correct in saying that?
A couple of famous pairs. I probably wouldn't say famous. We're working on it with regards to the famous shoes. But some that have just actually been put on the internet are, they're not by anyone famous, but they're actually by a local boot and shoe company, Jeffrey West. That's just come on online. It's a place called Audio Works. They've planted up some Jeffrey West shoes. We've also had Doc Martens as well, which is another local boot and shoe manufacturer not too far away in Wollaston. And a local coffee company actually had some last year and planted those up. So we haven't got anything from anyone famous yet, but it's only year two or year three, if I'm right now. Year three. So we're going to take this bigger and better. So if anyone out there is listening and would like to donate any shoes, please let us know. And we will do our best to give them a good home and to make them look even more spectacular.
Do you get some funny looks over this one, Rocky?
What regards that most of the shoes are using are women's or
could have done what Tidy Towns or what Britain in Blooms generally do, which is landscape outside a bit of a train station or the local post office.
Isn't that boring? Come on, you've got to use your imagination. I think sometimes people do the same just because it's easy and it's been done. I think, if you've got an idea, actually try it out. There's no harm in trying it. If it doesn't work, you can try something else. But it's great when something like this, again, hasn't cost loads of money, works, and it makes a big smile to someone's face. They keep going for that time. We've had conversations while doing our guerrilla gardening and things like that with homeless people, people that are ex-military, people who have got anxiety, depression, and it just shows you how horticulture, and this is in the town centre, actually brings communities, it brings people, it brings back communication all over something. So, again, it doesn't cost a lot of money, but yet it brings people together. And, things like you're saying, like train stations outside planting. You can get contracts and you can pay someone to do it. But part of the achievement is actually doing it yourself or empowering, as I say, or inspiring someone to actually do it, because then they actually unlock their potential and actually saying their attitude of saying, oh, I can't do it. This is not going to work. It actually turns into one of positivity. And then from doing that, it spreads. They are nice to people. Then they're much kinder, I think, to their customers. It gives a bit of community, and customers then it feeds back, and they're like, "Oh, isn't that a great idea?" And that's going back to the cafe, and it's like the ladies now that go there and say, "Oh, isn't it brilliant?" And they comment on it, and then get the feedback from people. We had some shoes hanging on the church door, and this lady who had lost her husband many years ago saw them. And she was like, it brought back so many happy memories for her. And she's in a place of being lonely. But just having that reminded her of a wedding day. It's just these little small details which transform people's lives. And that's the joy of horticulture, I think, as a whole. If that something like that, if people can just do one small thing, it doesn't have to be massive, or, you know, or being massive municipal planting, or just hanging baskets or something to green up their space, the world would be better.
I feel like taking a moment to pause and reflect upon that, Rocky. But I'm not going to do that. Obviously, for the listener at home, that wouldn't be the greatest experience in the world. But answer me two things, Rocky. The first pair of shoes that you ever did as part of this group. And number two, the one that you might say got the most attention, or the one that was a little bit more unique.
Okay. All right. The first pair that I did were a pair of Converse boots. And yeah, interesting material to work with the big tongue. It's working about the type of material and the shoe. There's loads of things that can go in, and I can, if you want to, I'll give some people some pointers if they want to make their own. Secondly, the second question you asked me was the one that standed out. I think it's the red sparkly boots, which are outside the front of the church, which kind of makes people think, isn't this a bit interesting? Or a bit like, a bit kinky, isn't it? But obviously Northampton, kinky boots, you know, celebrating that. And if you don't know about the history of that and the movie and the story, I'm not the person to say that. You can do enough research yourself, but you know about the musical. But yeah, that's got a lot of people talking.
Do you think it's one of those, Rocky, that, I don't know, in my community or in your community, if you were to start an allotment group, I don't mean to be disrespectful here, a pair of shoes planted with some sedum, for example, or a little bit of ivy hanging from a church or a cafe or a restaurant would end up on Instagram or get my attention a little bit quicker?
Yeah, but, you know, Northampton, as I say, we've got history with our boots and shoes. You know, where do you live? What is your history? You know, what can you achieve? Is there a thing you can do? And so once you start knowing your neighbours, you might have a sculptor, you might have someone there that's got a different skill. Use those skills, put them together. You develop community, you develop a sense of pride, and you develop relationships. And yeah, that's one of the things I would say. Okay, if you want to do an allotment, but I'm aware that not allotments can take a lot of time, and not a lot of people have the time to actually look after allotment if there is one in their area. But as again, if anyone's going to do anything, I would say start small, you know, aim big in the long run, but start small and watch it grow. As I say, if it doesn't work, you're not wasting too much time or energy, but if it does work, think of all the benefits and the joy that you can bring to people.
I was going to say that is powerful words indeed, Rocky. If there were a lot more people who put daisies in their hair, who danced in puddles and did forward somersaults in supermarket car parks for no apparent reason, I genuinely believe the world would be a happier place.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, it's you that's made me smile on this occasion. Rocky, what's next on the horizon for you?
What's next? I don't know. Do you know what? Just let it be. You know, go with the flow. And I always seize opportunities. You never know what's going to come around the corner. You know, sometimes people aim big and things don't happen. For me, it's actually, I'm just happy to be here, happy to be healthy, and getting on with my life and enjoying. And if any opportunities come my way, just grab them and see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm reminded now, Rocky, of where we actually first met.
Yes, this is going to be an interesting one for the listeners, I would say.
Do you want to tell the story, Rocky?
Well, I can do, but I think it'd be much more convenient if it came from your mouth rather than mine.
Well, Perennial had a calendar, didn't they?
And exactly.
It was a Naked Gardener's calendar. I was in one plant pot and Rocky was in another plant pot.
Oh, man. We could go on this. But yeah, so we raised loads of money, basically. Listeners at home, you know, these calendars that Perennial did, it was the second one they'd done. And yeah, it just again brings a smile to some people's face, I suppose.
I had a little bit of explanation to do, Rocky, and mainly it was to women. And I explained that I was Italian from the bicep down and I was Irish the rest of it, which is basically a big pale white arse.
I mean, come on. I mean, most of us dudes have the same, I think. You know, if we've got gardener's tan, I mean, you're not going to expect some kind of hunk. I mean, I don't describe myself as being a hunk. I mean,
you speak for yourself, Rocky.
Yeah, I was going to say, when is your whole page calendar devoted to yourself coming available, AP?
Rocky Coles, always a pleasure to be in your company, always a pleasure to hear your voice, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Peter. God bless.
Chat soon, buddy. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.